Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1267. This is your host, Danny Pena, and we're live here recording this episode. And I have my co-host, the one and only, Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. Just getting ready for the craziness this week. Summer Game Fest. That's a lot of appointments, a lot of interviews, a lot of hands-on. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Plus, we're going to get to see our friends, man. A lot of them are going to be in town. I think that's like the best part about having events like this in LA, you know, so I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. We're going to be talking about all that stuff. Actually, we have a lot of stuff lined up, so be on the lookout for GTR. I'm planning to be uploading a lot of content this week. There's going to be a lot of them. I can't say how many, but just be on the lookout, all right? I have a couple surprises lined up for that. Also, a week from now, I'm going to New York City. For those that local over there in Jersey and New York, I'm going to be over there because I'm part of the jury of the Tribeca Games Festival, where they're going to have events there of games that's unreleased. It's only available for the first time at the festival. And it's going to start from June 9th all the way through the 17th. So make sure to check it out. If you're there, let me know. I would love to hang out with people. And yeah, cool. Oh, so shout out to Tanya. I know she was part of the jury for the first year, so shout out to her and Reggie. Yeah, really, really cool. Can't wait to check it out, man. Also, I have a couple other events happening the month of June, which I can't say just yet, because I'm just waiting for the confirmation. Then I'll mention, so you guys can check it out. And also, there's another one in July in the city of Las Vegas. That's the only thing I can say about it so far. So, but stay tuned. All right, we have voicemails. We have also an interview that I went a couple weeks ago to check out the new Telltale game, The Expanses. And we're going to be talking to the developers about the game. We have voicemails here. You know, Paris is making some noise in the back. I don't know what's going on with him, but what is it? What is that, Paris?
Just continue. Don't mind me.
You're showing like something to the camera. You got to, you know, people are not watching the stream. You gotta
well,
let them
maybe
know
it's not for the people that's not on the... Anyways... Someone asked what headphones I'm wearing, and Razer sent over their brand new Hammerhead Pro Hyperspeed Wireless earbuds, and that's what I'm wearing. So I was showing the box.
That looks pretty cool. Really cool. All right. Shout out to Razer. All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Actually, I posted a poll a couple of days ago. I should read the results on that one in a few minutes. But yeah, find us on any podcast app. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post your review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I'm gonna go very quick to check out the latest poll here. Give me a second for this episode. And by the way, this is a lot of episodes coming out this week, so there's gonna be no poll this week, but I'll let you know in the future when we're gonna have another one. So I posted, are you interested in Immortals of Avium? So it's a very close answer in this one. 35% said yes, 45% said no, and 20% said maybe. Are you surprised about that, Paris, with those answers?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I guess we can full disclosure say at this point, we've been a part of a council that have been playing the games. How long ago? Was it October?
Since last year.
It was late 2022. But basically, we're a part of a council of getting early builds of the game, kind of giving our feedback on what we thought about it, things like that. And I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. No, that doesn't surprise me because, I've been pretty critical of it during that entire process. I don't think this game still knows exactly what it is. And I don't think what they've been showing is something that's going to excite the people when they see it to go, man, I need to go pick it up day one. Already, because I've said it 1,000 times or anything, I'm not a fan of the term magic shooter. Just not. I think this strictly being magic only first person doesn't lend well to the actual gameplay loop of what this should be. At first glance, you might think this is an actual co-op game or, you know, some kind of multiplayer game, fantasy, maybe like a Game of Thrones, a Destiny-esque type game. And that's not what it is at all. But that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. So, I mean, we'll obviously see once it comes out. I mean, obviously, I wasn't able to attend the capture event that you're at, so I didn't get hands on what is basically the near final build. But from what I've played, it just seems okay to me.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
I had a good time playing the game, even though there was like issues with like bugs. I mean, that's in every event we go to. It's nothing new. But that part. The only thing I will say is that I'm glad that those companies are at least taking risks where they're trying to do new things. You know, I feel like sometimes companies get really comfortable just releasing the same game over and over, you know, sequel, the third game, a fourth game, you know, using the same name. So I applaud them for at least trying something new. Sometimes companies will release games as new and new IPs, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. So we'll see once the full version comes out. But for me, I had a good time. Like, it wasn't the most perfect, greatest game ever. It was decent. Like, I had a good time with it. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. We'll see how the final version is once it comes out. But just want to say that. But shout out to everybody that have been voting and, you know, letting their opinion known on the podcast. So, all right. So we have some voicemails. I'm going to play some voicemails here. But first, I think we should talk about Summer Game Fest Paris, because that's in a couple days, and I'm excited for a couple games that we're gonna get check out this week. But for you, what are the games that you're excited for to check out, or the presentation we're gonna get to see it on Thursday? I believe that's the press conference of Summer Game Fest. Is there anything that is gonna stand out, you think?
I mean, a couple stick out. Alan Wake 2. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more on that. I do believe Sam Lake is going to be on stage during the live show, showing it off. Yep. So looking forward to that. You know, CD Projekt Red is going to be there with Cyberpunk 2020, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, and both of us are going to get hands on with that. So looking forward to that. Trying to think what we can talk about, can't talk about.
Yeah, it's a lot we can't talk about. Yeah.
I mean, those stick out. I mean, when I push it, you know, further ahead into what Xbox is going to be showing. Yeah, definitely looking forward to Starfield Direct to see more of that. Looking forward to seeing more of Forza Motorsport as well. Fingers crossed, you know, we get to see some Hellblade 2 there. Obviously, there's very strong hints that Fable will be there in some form. So looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully we'll get some in-engine / gameplay of that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Yeah, it's tricky, guys. It's tricky because we have a couple of games that we can't say anything about, so we don't want to get in trouble. But the ones that have been announced, then yeah, we could talk about that. You know, I look, everybody knows. I tweet this like every few days, man. Alan Wake 2 is my most anticipated game ever. I love the first one. Love Remedy games. I also play the American's Nightmare from Alan Wake. This was like an Xbox Live Arcade version. It was a very short game. But that was really, really cool and controlling everything. So I can't wait. I know they released a video behind the scenes of about the game where it's two playable characters. One is Saga and the other one is going to be Alan Wake. They didn't say much about Alan Wake. I think that's going to be more like part two. Like it's been over a decade. Like what's going on with him? You know what I'm saying? So. But yeah, check out the behind the scenes video. It looks really, really good. Really, really good. Dark, scary. I can't wait. So, but I want to check this out. Also, like you said, Paris, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty. That looks really interesting. They haven't said much about it. It's just been screenshots here and there. But I can't wait to see what else we're going to get to see in this game, man. You know what I'm saying? So very excited. I've been playing a lot. Of Alan Wake, not Alan Wake, Cyberpunk on my Steam Deck and everything, man. So just getting prepared for what's coming next, you know. Do you have an idea when this game might be coming out? Do you think it's going to be before September or after September?
Well, I mean, the fact that they officially announced that they're going to basically take the game on tour so that people around the community can get some hands-on with it as well. And I notice... Mm-hmm. One of the locations was Cologne, Germany, which means Gamescom, which means that's August, which tells me, to your point, we won't see it probably until September at the earliest, would be my guess at this point.
Mm-hmm. Another game also I'm excited to check out, man, is Mortal Kombat 1. I definitely want to see what Ed has to say about that game because he's also going to be over there at Summer Game Fest. So he also announced it there. So, yeah, I mean, look. With Xbox, it's a huge mystery. I know Starfield, everybody's talking about it. I have a feeling that I think it's going to be a pretty good presentation when it comes to Starfield. But the rest of it, Paris, when it comes to like just Xbox showcase by itself, man, I'm excited to see what they have, man. Because I know they're going to show Forza. It looks like they're going to show Fable. I hope it's playable instead of just a CGI video and everything. But what's next after that? Are we going to get to see any surprises? Or, you know, that's a huge mystery because we don't, honestly, when it comes to Xbox, we have no idea what's going on over there, man. You know what I'm saying? But I can't wait. Can't wait to check out, man. So, yeah. Anything else? We're good?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, we're good.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we're going to play these voicemails, and we'll go from there. All right, it's not that many. It's only like two, but let's see if I have it here. Paris is smiling. He loves answering voicemails. All right, so this is from the one and only Keon. Let's play it, man. He's always sending voicemails, so shout out to him.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you good brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Oh, man, I just want to say this. After watching that PlayStation show, this is why competition is so important. So before some gamers say Microsoft should get out of gaming, think about this Sony show that we just saw. I mean, we already know Nintendo is off doing their own thing, and the last time they tried to go head up with Sony to be competition, they got knocked smooth out of their church shoes. So the only real competition as far as going head-to-head with Sony is Microsoft. So even if you're not a fan of Xbox or Nintendo or PlayStation, you shouldn't want any of them to fail, but you should want them to succeed because in the end, and I know this sounds cheesy, like a 1980s sitcom, but as gamers and people who love this game and culture, we win. Because if everybody is pushing each other, then everybody gets that much better. 7 out of 10 for the most part, but it definitely was not a Sony S film. Competition right now. Microsoft hasn't shown anything over the last couple of years, and this is the result. So anyway, you guys have a good one. Thank you guys for everything that you do, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kia. Next time, please send us a short voice. It's like almost 2 minutes long. No, but shout out to him, man. Shout out to him. Yeah, look, Paris, we haven't really been talking about the PlayStation Showcase. We've been busy and everything like that. The only thing I will say is I think it was a decent presentation. It wasn't the worst. Like, I've seen way worse from Sony. And this was not that bad. There was games that I want to check out, you know, like Marathon. There, you know, Alan Wake 2, they showed there. There was a couple indie games. I'm like, oh, I want to check out, like, from the creators of Journey. They have a new game coming out there too. Like, it was a decent presentation. So I don't know why people were flipping, like, yo, this is like the ending of Sony and this is the worst presentation ever. I just don't get it, man. I think it was decent in my opinion. But your thoughts about the showcase yourself, man?
Yeah, I mean, pretty similar. It's funny he said 7 out of 10. I would have said 6 out of 10 if I had to give it a score. And not that it was terrible, not that it was the greatest. It was just okay. I think the biggest complaint to come out of this was just the lack of first party titles from PlayStation. When you say showcase, that is the expectation that you're going to see a bunch of first party titles. But I think for the games that were shown, I saw a lot there that I wanted to play, and that ultimately is what it should be about. But I can understand the disappointment because people were suspecting, like again, Last of Us Factions, the fact that that wasn't there, I just naturally assumed it would be there, and for it to not be there, and they knew it was having development troubles, you should have just got out in front of that, in my opinion. Just ahead of that showcase, say, hey, you know, we're having issues, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be at the showcase. And then that sets an expectation. There won't be that letdown that it's not seen there. You know, people were thinking maybe we see something new from Sucker Punch with Ghost of Tsushima. Like, there were a lot of expectations that just simply weren't lived up to. Now, Spider-Man 2 looked fantastic. I mean, day one, can't wait to play it. I think that that's great. But that is why I think we're seeing the quote unquote outrage on the internet right now over the showcases. Because I tweeted it like right after. If they would have said that this was a state of play, no one's complaining. It's the fact that they called this a showcase and they hadn't done a showcase in a couple years. There was an expectation of what was going to be shown. So that's probably, I'm sure they're taking a lessons learned from that moving forward. Now, obviously, there's rumors, you know, that they potentially may have another showcase later this year, which there is a precedent for that happening. So maybe we do get a second one where we do get a look at more of their first party lineup, you know, as far as that goes. So we'll see. But to the point, I think I saw enough there that I was like, yeah, like Plucky Squire, Talos Principle 2, like you already mentioned, Alan Wake, Marathon, getting a sneak peek at the Final Shape for Destiny 2, obviously Spider-Man 2. I mean, there were things there that I want to play, that I'm excited to play. So, you know, like I said, 6 out of 10. It was just okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, another thing I got to see too, like, which I really don't get it, but people were also saying that there's nothing really new with Spider-Man 2 when it comes to like visuals and animations and using the same assets. I really don't care about that. I think the game looks phenomenal. I can't wait to try it out. It looks sick. And I just love where you can switch the characters, you know, similar to like GTA. I mean, in certain situations, you have to switch to characters like depending on what's happening at that moment. But I can imagine while there's nothing really going on in the game, you can switch to Peter Parker, switch to Miles Morales. I think that's going to be fun, you know, but I'm excited to try that out for me. But are you excited to try out Spider-Man 2, Paris? Besides, yeah, like what people were saying, you know,
I don't even want to get into the stuff about the internet because it's ridiculous. I don't know what people were expecting. It's fine. I'm like, I said, day one.
Yeah. And here's another thing that I was very surprised. Why Sony didn't announce Ratchet & Clank coming to the PC? Why they announced this after the showcase? That was kind of weird because, yo, ultra widescreen, yo, like ray tracing, this is going to be, yo, it looks, it's going to look really, really sick on PC. I can't wait. But, you know, one thing I do have to say, I don't know what was the point of showing that Gran Turismo trailer. during the showcase. That has nothing to do with with the actual, you know, playing games showcase type thing. I don't know. That was kind of weird, but I get it. It's a partnership. They want to promote that. I totally get that. But I'm excited to try out and play Ratchet & Clank again on the PC. Very, very excited for that. I'm still playing Returnal and a couple of God of War. I've been playing that on the PC. I just love it, man. You know, great on the Steam Deck too. Yeah. All right. You know, one thing I do have to learn, Paris, is how to switch my Steam Deck that I could play other apps in there. I don't know how to do this, you know, but you gotta give me some tips to make it happen.
Google.com is your friend.
Hey, man.
I'm not helping you. I asked you something yesterday and you told me to pray on it. Don't think I forgot that. Huh?
Yeah, but you took a picture of you praying.
What you're talking about, yeah, it's actually not super complicated. There are some, like I said, joking around, but being serious, I mean, you can literally Google it. There's some YouTube videos shows you how to do a lot of that stuff. It's not that hard. Basically, you're just going to go into desktop mode and you're just going to have to manually install some things, you know, through SteamOS, but it's not too complicated.
Yeah, because I want to play Diablo 4 there nonstop. So I know I see Pete posting pictures. He's sending, you know, posting on our Discord. By the way, check out our Discord channel because we already created a Gamertag Raider Clan. So for those who want to play Diablo 4, hey, shout out to Arctic for making that happen. And Pete's been posting pictures of him playing Diablo 4 in the Steam Deck. I'm like, man, this punk. I have to figure that out too, man, you know. But anyways, all right, we're going to play the second voicemail. We got it right here. Let's do it. Check it out.
Hey, guys. I am so happy that I found you again. This is my gamer tag when I was like 18, 19. Was Camaro Guy 579, and I was on another gaming podcast in that 05 to 08 time frame. I was on Hardcore Christian Gamer for a little bit and a couple others, but man, I'm so glad I found you guys and that you're still going after all these years. I cannot believe you guys are still rocking it, and I'm so happy I found Gamertag Radio again. And I remember you guys. I remember you from back in that time. I can't believe I'm 36 now. And you know, family and working and all that stuff, but you know that those 05 times on Xbox, you know, the mid 2000s and all that was a really amazing time, and I look back on it fondly with a lot of nostalgia, not just for the games but for the podcasting and all that going on in the gaming industry. And I think you guys were the ones that were really blazing the trail for what podcasting in general is today, and to show what it could be. I remember I was there with you, Danny, during your EA live stream at E3 years ago, like up until late in the night, because that was in LA and I'm in Florida. Anyway, I'm just so happy to see that you guys are still doing well, and so keep rocking it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and shout out to you, man. Wow, he mentioned me streaming the EA press conference. Oh my God, that was Santa Monica, I believe, Paris, right?
Yeah,
that's when I streamed the Xbox press conference using the Vision camera. It was like a little webcam you connected to the console, and yeah, that was wild. I can't believe it. But yeah, that was when I listened to the audio, the voice message, it reminded me of all the cool things that we managed to pull off back in the days, you know. I think that was like, in my opinion, I mean, everybody's probably going to have different opinions about it, but I think that was like the beginning of like the golden era of gaming podcasts. Cause there was so many people creating cool content, you know, making moves behind the scenes, you know. Paris had like amazing interviews lined up and he recorded on his show, Uncle Gamer Radio. And That was a lot of fun, man, back then. Plus, there was nonstop gaming events, man, like private events, like community events. Companies would invite us, check out all these games. Like, that was like one of the best times, man. And I'm telling you, after the Timefall 2 event, Paris, I think that's when we noticed that, yo, audio gaming podcast is not how it used to be.
Yep.
Now it's going to be like the video format and everything like that, you know. But that's when everything changed. But before that, yo, it was amazing. Amazing, amazing content back then, man. Yeah. And I wish Paris had all those audios, man, he recorded back then, man. Oh, man, you had some classics. I'm like, Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I know. Lost them all, unfortunately.
Which one? Which, if I have to say, like, if you have one interview, like, man, I wish I still had it to this day that you could release it, re-release it again. Is there any of them?
It's two. It would be Ken Levine for BioShock, and then it would be Casey Hudson for Mass Effect 2. Those are the two that stick out to me that I would wish I still had.
Yeah.
Because obviously two of the greatest games ever, and to be able to sit down with the creative directors for both and kind of talk in depth about both games, especially back then. Yeah, that was it. It's wild to think that I had got that opportunity when I had no idea what the frick I was doing.
No. Yo, I mean, think about Paris. Props to you, because look, I also managed to get interviews back then. Like, I still to this day, I'm like, how the hell I put it off? You know, like thinking about it, like, how the hell you put it off? Because it's unheard of back then for a small podcast. Yo, our shows back then wasn't that big. It was very, very small. But we managed to get these interviews that usually those people, like, that you mentioned, like, mm-hmm. you know, Kevin Levine and all that, they'll usually will go to, like, IGN or, like, GameSpot, a big site to promote their games. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But I think at the end of the day, too, Paris, I think it was because of the relationship and with people that we know in the industry that they gave us the opportunity. Plus, they also got to see us, you know, working behind the scenes. Like, oh, man, Paris, I could see him, you know, interviewing so-and-so. Let's give him that opportunity, man. And guess what, guys? Paris released this video, this audio podcast, right, back then. And, yo, and it got picked up by Reddit, but forums and all this stuff. Because back then, there was no social media like how it is now. But, yeah, and the word just went around, like, yo, check out this interview, you know? So that's the part that I really miss, man, from back then, yo.
Yeah.
Really, really miss. And it's wild. He said he was 18 and he's 36 now, Paris. Oh, my God. What the heck?
Well, like I tell you, man, I time it up with my son, how long I've been doing this. My son's 17. He was born 2 months before I started Uncle Gamer.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he's 17. Wow. Yep.
Wow. And I bet your kids like, ah, that is required. Ah, whatever. Like, they don't actually see it. It's like, oh, my God. If they know the history, man, yo, Paris has done a lot back then, yo. He's yeah. done a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to you, man. Yeah, it's been good, man. I mean, look, I'm excited for us to do this again, Paris, you know, this week with Summer Game Fest. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, seeing people. We're going to be sitting down with very important people that I can't wait for us to sit down and have that conversation with them about what's next. What's next for them, for their studio, for gaming. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And that's the part that I'm very excited, man, because I miss those coverages, man. Because we used to grind back in the days, man. You know, 2019, 2018. Actually, 2015 and up. That's when we were like, yo, let's step up our game, man. You know? So, but this one is not going to be like E3. It's a lot smaller. And that's the thing a lot of people don't know. So the way how Summer Game Fest works is they have the press conference, which anybody could just go to that one. It's like similar to like the Game Awards presentation, everything like that. People are going to be on stage with Jeff. But June 9th and the 10th is Playdays, which is a very small venue. You get to play all these games that was announced during the press conference, and that's the opportunity also to sit down and talk to the dev team about it. Like, for example, last year, that's when everybody got to play Street Fighter VI for the first time. Look, the game just came out a couple of days ago, you know what I'm saying? So there's potential there, man, with Summer Game Fest. I think it's going to be really, really good. And after Summer Game Fest, that's the Xbox Showcase. And also Ubisoft is going to have their press conference and everything like that. So it's slowly getting there, slowly getting there. It's not E3, but it's up there. It's up there, man. So, but see, Paris been to Gamescom. I've never been to Gamescom. So that's like a whole totally different beast right there, man. And I wish I could go to Gamescom, Paris. That's like one of my goals, to one day go there and check it out, man.
No, you got to go. Cologne, Germany is an awesome place. It was an amazing time being there, and crazy to think that was right before the pandemic. And yeah, I hope to go back again too. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, people don't know this, Paris. It was like, what, 100 something thousand people show up over there, right?
No, it's more than that. It's like 300,000, something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The efficiency of how they're able to get everybody through that. Because, I mean, Gamescom is huge. It's at least five times bigger than E3 as far as size-wise, as far as the convention center go. It's gigantic. And the way that they have it set up, you're able to get that amount of people in and out of there, and it's not just complete chaos. And like I said, I saw it firsthand. It's wild.
Yeah. What were the games you got to play there last time?
Why are you asking me about it from 4 years ago? I don't remember. I don't know. How about that?
Wow. You see, guys, look, I'm just trying to create content here, conversation, and power.
No, one game that sticks out to me, because I'll never forget this, and I can't wait to see her here at Summer Game Fest, is Control. That was to be able to sit down with Remedy, and I sat down with the community manager she still is, but... and one of the devs, and they walked me through Control. And that was my first time, you know, like seeing it, getting hands on with it and realizing how special that game was going to be. And then obviously they're coming back around here with Alan Wake 2 this year in 2023. But that, I remember Stadia at the time was about to come out. I'd played Doom. What else did I play? Doom was the one I remember. It was something else that I played on Stadia, and it wasn't that bad. But again, you're in a controlled environment. I remember going to the Xbox booth and doing their X Cloud for the first time. I'm like playing Gears 5, and I guess it would have been Forza 7 at that time. I'm really blanking on Gamescom. I remember seeing Avengers. You know what's so funny? I remember going to behind closed doors to see Avengers when Crystal Dynamics was showing that off. And they were showing off the microtransactions for it. And I was like, I don't think this is going to work. And obviously, here we are. God, there was something else. There was something else I saw that I can't remember. But it was an amazing time. Was it one of the Battlefield games? I can't remember. Because I was there for EA was why I was there. But, and then I saw Destiny 2 Shadowkeep was about to come out, so I was hanging out with. But because, matter of fact, there's the whole, if you look online, like Bungie had like a community meetup at Gamescom, like that last night or whatever, and I had went to that, and I got pictures like with all these people in the community and stuff. And when Deej was still there, he was just in his element. He was like a freaking rock star. That was awesome. Got to hang out with all the folks over at CD Projekt Red, because that was during Cyberpunk 2077 time when they were ramping that up. But yeah, Gamescom is amazing, man. It was really cool.
Yeah. And I know you, I remember this because we had this conversation back then, but I remember you mentioned Google Stadia right now. That was actually the first time that was hands-on to try Google Stadia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was hands-on.
The first time.
Yep.
Yeah. And look at that, where they're at right now. Sucks. All right. So, guys. So we're going to play this interview that I recorded at a Telltale game with the devs. We talk about the expansion. And it was a great conversation. So I'm going to play this right now. And once you come back, we're going to wrap it up. All right, check it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
My name is Tommy Spampinato, S-P-A-M-P-I-N-A-T-O. And I'm the lead environment artist on The Expanse.
And you?
I'm Emerson Oakes. I'm the art director on The Expanse.
So, okay, first thing first, I never watched the series. So I've been playing this now, a couple hours, like an hour or so, right? And it got me curious. Now I want to watch the show. So it's really, really good. Really good story. Yeah. So how this game is different than the previous Telltale games for you guys?
How is it
different? Very different. Like, yeah.
Well, I believe... from what I played at Telltale Games, our game has a free roam environment. So you can roam in the environment, turn 360 degrees, and look at a lot of different things. And I'm not too certain, but our decisions you make would have consequences maybe a little more deeper than the previous Telltale games.
And for you?
It's the same answer. The free roam environments are very expansive. Mm-hmm. Players can roam around in them, find collectibles. They have a lot of freedom in how they explore those areas. Yeah, and the decision points that the players have available to them, they have wide-ranging consequences later on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that was very important to our narrative team and to our game director.
Do you think it's something where, like, let's say I finish the first chapter, should I just replay it to see the difference of, like, my choices from the first one and the second?
Your choices that you have in the first chapter will impact you all the way through the rest of the game, mm-hmm. and some of them won't show up until much, much later. Mm-hmm. And that's like real life. Like, sometimes you have this butterfly effect where the very small things that you do can mm-hmm. have huge impacts later.
Yeah, and how was that to find, like, the right ending for, like, the last chapter? Because if you make some different choices, but then in the show it's a different story, right? So how that connects with both?
Well, that's a challenge. We do always have to tie things back together to the story we need to, or to the main show. We need to provide continuity to the Expanse series. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we have to keep sacred. So we don't do that, but you still have a lot of people on this ship, and you can have a lot of impacts on their lives.
Yeah, so this is a prequel, right? Correct?
That's correct, yes.
So tell us a little bit about the story and the character of Kara, a drummer, right? Kamina Drummer.
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. This tracks Kamina Drummer's life how many years before the show?
It's 7 years.
So 7 years before, okay.
So 2350, I believe, is when the show takes place. So.
Mm-hmm.
2343.
Okay.
To join the Artemis.
So for those that never watched the show, is this something that they need to watch the show to understand more of the story, or this is, you think, is good for them to start off with this game right here?
I think it's a bonus, but if you haven't watched the show, I think that you would still be interested in Kamina. She's a really engaging, powerful character, mm-hmm. I would like to think that we have created a story around her that is compelling enough that it's going to pull completely new people into the Expanse universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I really liked her character. She's a badass.
Yeah.
Very badass. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want to grab the mic and say something?
Oh, no. I was just, I think, you know, I've seen the show, definitely, and I do agree that you could play this game mm-hmm. and then go to the show later, and it'll only enhance the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell people, don't worry about it. Just play the game. I mean, in the show, she starts off as a small part, and she gets more and more important to the story mm-hmm. as she goes, and she just becomes more and more badass as she goes. Now you get to experience, to see Drummer, how she kind of, I mean, okay, so she's like, I don't know what it was. She's like 23 years old. Mm-hmm. I had these notes here. So 24 years old, I believe. But she still has a lot to learn. And you can go through this. And then when you watch the show, you could, you know, on a flashback to the game and just realize, think about these moments that created the character that you're seeing in the show now. Mm-hmm. So
in this first episode, we're going to see any characters also from the show, or she's the only one that's only here for now that you're allowed to see?
Well, we don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But there are some nice surprises in the game for people who are familiar with the show.
Okay, that's good. No spoilers. There you go. Yeah. So how was it for you guys working on this project, man? You know, behind the scenes, kind of. You said you watched the series, but now it's your project now. And how was it working with the creators of the show too? How was that process?
Well, I didn't work directly with the creators. I of course, our narrative director and the game director did very closely. And I believe, from what I've heard, it was a really good relationship. They helped us when we pitched the show to them, and they liked what we were doing. They helped us understand, like, things we could do with Drummer, because I don't know if you know it, but the show, Drummer is a character that was created based on a bunch of different characters from the book. Mm-hmm. So they just combined them to create Drummer in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So they helped flesh that out. As far as creating the game, I would sit there and I'd be working on the environments. I'd watch the mocap shoots and watch Kara, and the other actors acting, and it was just so exciting to see, well, I mean, her professionalism, how well she did her job, how she helped the other actors. She had an upbeat personality. She was super professional.
Mm-hmm.
For every time that mocap shop, she would do, like, we do these A poses to reset the camera. She always does this big smile in the camera and make us laugh. Mm-hmm. And then there's some emotional moments in the show that actually got me. I mean, I don't really cry that often, but she got me choked up. I'm telling you, she's really good actress.
Yeah.
Actor.
Now, for you guys playing the game, how is your path? Like, are you like more like a calm type drummer, or you're like, you know what, I don't care, I'm just going to go my way or no way?
I tend to play drummer pretty brash and impetuous.
Okay.
That's had some, you know, hard playthroughs at the end of the game for me. Mm-hmm. Because some of the relationships I did not maintain.
Mm-hmm.
You played through the game.
Yeah, yeah. I had some choices. I'm like, man, should I do this? Should I punch this person or what? Like, you know, because
it makes you think.
It makes you think.
I punched him, cut him, you name it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's. I wanted to replay it again to see what happens if I made a different decision, you know? So yeah. I'm probably going to do that for sure.
That's good.
Yeah. So anything else? Why for those that never got to see the show and they are a fan of Telltale's, like, what is it that they should try this game out for you guys?
Wait, the ones that haven't seen
Seen the show, but they're a fan of Telltale, like, why do you think they should check this out and also check out the show?
Well, because, well, in my opinion, teaming up with Telltale to create a story.
Yeah.
We're doing our best job for it. And I don't know. I'm just super excited about future games, possibly, if we can work with them on it.
Yeah.
I think if players already like Telltale games, this is another game in that vein that it's plussed up, right? It's going to be everything that they like in a Telltale game and more.
Yeah, you know what I love about these type of games is very easy for those that have never even played games. You know, like this is and plus it's entertaining because you get to learn more about the story of like the character. And if you're a fan of the show, I think this is like you said, a bonus, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. So yeah, congrats to you guys. I can't wait to play the retail version
once
it comes
out.
Thank
you so much. Really appreciate you coming out and playing today.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Very cool.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so thanks to Telltale Games and also Tara Bruno PR for sending me, sending me an invite to go to this event. That was a lot of fun. Lots of fun. I got to see a couple of friends there at the event, and it was a cool experience. I had the whole room dark, and we dressed up, and yeah. What's up, Harris? Were you going
to
say something?
No, I could just, because you mentioned Tara Bruno PR, which shout out to that team because they're amazing. But that also was another thing at Gamescom. Again, that whole team was a huge help to me at Gamescom, but I got to see the Outer Worlds like a second time, because remember we went to that event earlier that summer, but I got to see it a second time when I was at Gamescom, and I got to sit down with, again, it's just funny how it all works now relationship wise, but a bunch of people at Obsidian and stuff, and we're all talking. So yeah, these are memories. Yeah. From Gamescom.
Yeah. 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 Actually, for those who don't know, I've never watched this Amazon series. I know people have been talking about it from the game that Telltale just created. They've been working on it. This was going to be, I believe, a weekly episodes where you could download it and play it. So I had a great time playing this game. It reminded me of like the old Telltale, you know. But it got me curious about the series. I definitely want to check it out on Amazon. So people are saying this is really, really good. So it's a sci-fi series. So have you heard of it, Paris, the Expanse?
I heard of it, but same. I haven't actually watched it.
Yeah. Yeah. So people tell me it starts slow, but it gets really, really good. So actually the main actress was there at the event. I got to meet her. She was there promoting the game and everything. She's one of the characters in there. So this is a prequel of the game. So yeah, let me know your thoughts about the interview. And yeah, we're going to wrap this episode up, man. Again, this week we're planning to have interviews. I'm planning to record with Paris some hands-on impressions episode, like how we used to do it at E3. You know, every once a day there might be something there. You'll see. But when it comes to interviews, it's going to be a lot of interviews. So be on the lookout. Hopefully starting, I'm not 100% sure, but hopefully starting June 8th all the way to like June 12th, there's going to be content almost daily. There are multiple episodes. So be on the lookout and let me know your thoughts about this coverage. You know, if we should continue doing this type of coverage. Let me know on Discord, Twitter, email us. Please let me know, all right? And I can't wait to debate with Paris. We always do that after a press conference, man, you know. Let me know. We might debate again. We'll see. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 1267, Gamer Tag Radio. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.